So many times job seekers look at, you know, can I do this? Could I be a fit? Well, what about the other way around? Gosh darn it. Is that role, is that company, is that team, is that boss a fit for you?
How do companies create a culture and core values that employees actually live out? The team at The Receptionist, a Denver-based software company, sets out to answer that very question. Welcome to The Fabric. Here's your host, Michael Ashford.
Leadership and career coach Meredith Massey joins The Fabric to discuss how to craft a career that works for you, and what's more, how to figure out what that actually is. Meredith has an excellent TEDx talk about how she realized her own ideal career path, and we'll link to that TEDx talk in the show notes. And in our conversation here, she explains the characteristics of people who are unhappy and unfulfilled in their careers as she once was. We then discuss what you can do to begin to break out of career unfulfillment, and Meredith offers her advice to job seekers in today's economy. If you're interested in learning more about what we do and how company culture drives us, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thereceptionistapp. We're currently releasing new episodes of The Fabric once a month, along with lots of other great content. And now, here's my interview with Meredith Massey. Meredith, since knowing you and hearing and understanding your story, I would love for you to share and start today by just sharing your missing the bus story and how it relates to what we're going to talk about.
Sure. So it was a hot, hot, hot summer day in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. And I note that because not only is it, you know, 95 degrees, probably 99.9% humidity, and I was slogging down my street to get on the bus to go to work one day. And I'm trudging along and zoop, the bus just drove right by because nobody was standing at the bus stop yet. And I just stopped in my tracks and I thought, well, fantastic. Now I'm going to have to turn around and start this process of getting to work all over again. And what's maybe important to note here is that I had an hour and a half each way commute. I felt like I was doing a day's work just getting there, much less being there. So I turned around, went back up the street, climbed up the stairs, put my PJs back on, crawled in bed, called in sick, and spent the rest of the day feeling really sorry for myself because I just thought it's not worth it. I spent the day under the covers. I'm sure there was some really bad TV involved at some point. And, you know, the next day and the day after and the day after that, I got up and I went and I slogged my way into a job that I told myself, I really should love this. I have a fantastic boss. The benefits are pretty darn good. And I should love it because I get to travel all over the world. But I didn't, for lots of reasons. And that bus story was one of the days where I started to wake up to the fact that there's something amiss here.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I'm going to find out.
Looking back now, Meredith, I mean, you're right. There had to have been warning signs. There had to have been something. One missed bus should not cause all this
that much
emotional
angst.
Strife and angst, right? What were they? What were the warning signs?
And the warning signs that I didn't listen to,
yeah,
in other words.
Yeah.
The biggest one was literally feeling sick to my stomach on Sunday nights in anticipation of the work week ahead. Mm-hmm. On paper, I looked like a rock star and I could tout, you know, all of my wins, all of my successes, all of the measurable this's and that's that showed that I could, you know, produce the same thing for the next company. But yet looking at that, I thought, okay, I'm successful, but it didn't feel like I was making a difference. It didn't feel like what I was doing was of much significance.
What was the disconnect? I know you work with a lot of folks in their career journeys and helping them find that connection to their work and to their roles and jobs. What's the disconnect of an unhappy employee? It sounds like, and I'll assume here, and you can set me straight here, Meredith, sounds like there was unfulfillment in that role.
Correct.
I'm just curious, what was the disconnect? What were the things that were not fulfilling for you?
Yeah. Number one, and this was true for me in that role and so many prior to that, is the what was a disconnect. The what I did and what my job required compared to what my brain does naturally, if you will, how I most naturally solve problems, make decisions, and take action. There is a big disconnect there. I am a brainstormer, an ideator, an alternatives creator. If you're feeling stuck, come to me. I can help you brainstorm your way out of paper bag. This role needed someone who was super detail-oriented, analytical, and methodical. Can I be those things? Absolutely. I did it for the first 15 plus years of my professional life. I was pushing myself against my proverbial grain every single day and doing a role that required something that I wasn't hardwired to do naturally. So I had to learn it, which was fine. And I know there are going to be listeners who say, okay, but what about stretch assignments, Meredith? Yes, have stretch assignments. Find those and make sure that those stretch assignments are teaching you something new or a new approach, but you get to solve the problem, make the decision, and take action on it in a way that comes naturally to you.
There's also the element of, it's often, I've heard it referred to as the golden handcuffs. You become so good at the thing that you're not passionate about, but it pays so well. You got a great boss, all the things that you've already mentioned off, good benefits, that you get yourself in, and you're successful in that role, no matter how difficult or against the grain it might feel, that you get to this point where you're making lots of money. You've got the title, you've got the role, you've got the managerial authority, and you've got these handcuffs just that feel like they're shackling you to that job. Did you feel that too?
It's almost as if you were on one of my walks around the neighborhood with my husband at that time.
I was not.
When I said, I'm sure I can't do anything else. I'm sure if I change my mind and I start down a different career path, I'm sure I'll make less money. I'm sure the benefits won't be there. And I continually told myself on a loop this story of all of the things that couldn't possibly be.
Mm. Yeah, that is often a butting of the heads that we do with ourselves internally. Yeah.
And holy limiting beliefs, Batman. Right? Where was my data? I had no data to back that up other than my own fears and the story, as Brené Brown would say, the story I was writing in my head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another disconnect was even though my boss was awesome, the people I hired, I loved because, well, hello, I hired them.
Yeah, of course.
And even before, you know, sort of knowing about this idea of strengths in the workplace, I always knew I have to hire someone who likes to do this stuff that I don't love to do. And someone who is a little more detailed. And I don't know if you've noticed, for as long as we've known each other, that I'm a little kooky. I have a silly sense of humor.
It's why we connect so well, Meredith.
Let's not take ourselves too seriously at the same time.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
This was a very academic setting. Mm. Imagine me trying to fit my little square peg into that round hole.
Yeah.
They were lovely people, but I, you know, I was there for 8 years and to this day, I look back and think, gosh, did I really belong there? Did I have a sense of belonging there? So the where, we talked about the what mismatch. This was a bit of a where mismatch. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of felt like that kooky little sister all the time.
I'm kind of seeing a theme here, but keep going. What was the third?
So we talked about the what, the where, now the why. The why being our own definition of meaningful work for us. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has to cure cancer. Yes, that's meaningful work. Empirically, we can all agree to that. But that's not everyone's job. And no matter what your mama told you or your teachers told you growing up or what your, you know, adult life partner tells you or what society tells you through the news, media, social media, you get to decide what meaningful work looks like for you. And I never really stopped to take note of, what feels like I'm making an impact or making a difference, or at least that's interesting. You know, it's that feeling when you wake up in the morning and you think, I get to go do this today. Mm-hmm. Part of that is also a mindset. And we can always find something to look forward to each day. And that brings us to the fourth piece. I saved the best for last, maybe, is the who. Mm. The who you are. Combined with part of the why, it's based in your values and belief systems and getting really clear on what's important to me. That who is part of, you know, what I said before about the stories we tell ourselves. How are they serving us? They're serving us in some way. Those stories that keep us from doing something because we're a little bit scared, that little who voice in our head is saying, oh, I just want to keep you safe. Are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to go there? Are you sure you want to try something new? What if you make a mistake? What if you fail?
I don't know if you feel this in the work that you do coaching people through finding what that optimal career path is for them. There is often a message shared out there that all of these things that you just talked about cannot be accomplished unless you're doing something for yourself, unless you start your own business, you're an entrepreneur, you go out and break out on your own. And the message is rarely ever shared that you can find companies that align with these things. It just feels like there's very much this push towards, if you want these things, you got to go do it yourself. Do you feel that?
Well, I am doing my own thing. So for me,
I know you
maybe
are.
The answer is yes. however, can I tell you a client story?
Please do.
So a gentleman came to me. He was looking for a career coach. He said, you know, I still have a job. I'm just not sure how long it's going to last for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. Financially, I'm okay. I don't need to be in a huge rush, but I love to work and I want to work. But I don't just want any job. And I said, okay, here's if and when you decide to work with me, here's how we're going to approach it. And I talked about the who, the what, the why, the where. And that if you envision those in, you know, a four-circle Venn diagram where they all overlap in some little space, that's sort of that the golden ticket, if you will. We talked about golden handcuffs before. Now that's the golden ticket.
Oh, there you go.
And the key is knowing the answers to those. Michael, you probably had a make and model in mind when you went to buy your last new car.
For yes? Sure. Absolutely.
And before you pulled onto the lot to actually purchase that car, you had this idea in your head, okay, this is the car I want. And suddenly, well, look, there's one. Oh, hey, there's another one. There's another. There's like two more at this stoplight. And suddenly you start to see that every third car on the road is that car.
Yep.
Call it law of attraction. You know, building your awareness, whatever label you want to put on it. When you tell your brain, this is what I want. This is who I am and how I want to show up. This is what I do best. This is what I care about, or at least I'm interested in. And this is the kind of place that I think it would look like that would allow me to do all of those other things, suddenly those opportunities start to become more apparent to you. Mm. And let me tell you, this guy busted through it. He said, I know. So we got to work on his resume and LinkedIn and all of that jazz. But as soon as he had that picture in his head, these opportunities started popping up. And he was able to look at those opportunities through this lens of, is this a fit for me? Mm-hmm. So many times job seekers look at, you know, can I do this? Could I be a fit? Well, what about the other way around? Gosh darn it. Is that role, is that company, is that team, is that boss a fit for you? And armed with the answers to what he knew it needed to look like, he went in and started asking questions in interviews, answering theirs as well. And we prepped for that too, of course. But he had his questions to start to discern, is this place, the boss, the role, a fit for me? And he landed in what he told me was about as close to his dream job as possible.
Awesome. You know, in today's economy, you know, one of the things that I hear consistently is there's a lot of jobs out there, but also a lot of job seekers, and the two just, for whatever reason, are not aligning. It's crowded. Yeah. Advice, other than answering those questions that you so poignantly described earlier, and taking that mindset into your job search of clearly outlining what you're looking for, what advice do you have for folks looking for jobs right now that want to go through this and land, as you just described with that client, land that as close to my dream job as possible?
Number one, be fearless. There's nothing you can do that's going to keep the earth from spinning, okay? Yes, do the online application. You'll have to do it eventually anyway. And just know that when you hit submit on that application, it's as good as sending your resume into a black hole. So do that, because you'll need to eventually anyway. So you may as well get that heartburn out of the way. Then start connecting with anyone and everyone you can find in that company. So I'm a big hyper user of LinkedIn, and it will be your best friend.
Same here. Yeah.
Find someone you know who knows someone in that company. That's called a second degree connection on LinkedIn. So if someone shows up as a second degree, that means someone you're connected to knows that person. Find them. Ask for the introduction. What's the worst they can do? Ignore you? Okay, move on to the next one. Say no? Okay, say thank you. How can I be a resource to you sometime? And move on to the next one. Hiring managers and talent acquisition folks are being bombarded. I've heard recruiters say, I'll take the first 100 that come through, and the rest I just don't even have time for. Unless a live human being walks into the room and says, hey, did you get an application from Michael? Oh, I don't know. I've got this stack. Which job? What? Who are we talking? Well, Michael Ashford, look it up. Click, click, click. Yeah, he's in here. Okay, push him through.
Yep.
I actually had a career coaching client a long time, probably 10 years ago. He told me the story about hiring someone. His friend walked down the hall and said, hey, my friend Julie applied for this job. She said she hasn't heard word one from you. What's the deal? She's really good. And you'd be crazy not to at least interview her for this sales opening you have. Click, click, click in the system. Sure enough, she was there. They said, yeah, she didn't make it past the keyword search.
Yeah.
He said, force it through. I want to see her resume. He ended up hiring her.
Of course he did.
You've got to network your way in. Spend 75 to 80% of your time on networking. You know, for as great as AI and our applicant tracking systems and all the technology in the world is, that human connection is still so incredibly important. So that you can get in there and ask the questions that you've developed to know if it's a fit for you.
There right? you go. And I would just append to that, do the networking before you need it. That's something that Amen. Is often heard. I know Jordan Harbinger, he runs a very successful podcast. He always says, dig the well before you're thirsty. Keep your network strong, lean into relationships. Don't always make it about a transaction of I need a job. Keep those relationships strong and that network will come through for you. So wonderful advice, Meredith. I appreciate it. Last question for you here. Our core values here at The Receptionist, and the name of this show is The Fabric. Fabric stands for our core values: fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative. And I would love to know which one of those means the most to you, which one of those resonates the most to you, and why. Fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative.
You know, my go-to is fun. However, I'm going to take what's behind door number two, Michael, and it's absolutely authenticity. Being unafraid and unapologetically you. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. It's taken me a long time to come to terms with that. I'm okay with that. Okay. You don't love me? Best of luck to you, right? Authenticity and staying true to your values, staying true to who you are, staying true to what matters to you most is the very best way to shed stress and boost your confidence, because it's really, really hard trying to be someone that you're not. Be you, because the right employer is going to need you, the authentic you.
Beautifully said, and wonderful place to leave it. Meredith, thank you so awesome. Much. Always wonderful connecting with you. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in and watching this episode of The Fabric. If you want more content from our studio here in Denver, Colorado, please consider subscribing to our channel here on YouTube. That's youtube.com/TheReceptionistApp to see more of our content coming out of this space that you see behind me, as well as more content from the remarkable guests and the rest of the team here at The Receptionist that we plan to highlight and show you much more of. Join us in the comments. We'd love to start interacting with you there. Please join us and we'll see you on the next episode.
The Fabric is hosted by me, Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing here at The Receptionist, and it's produced by our creative manager, James Jordan. If you'd like to give The Receptionist for iPad visitor management system a try in your office, jump over to thereceptionist.com/freetrial and give us a test drive for 14 days with no credit card required. See what you think. And until next time, take care.